Right, can we turn to Luke chapter 2, please? Luke chapter 2, from verse 22. Now, when the days of her purification according to the law of Moses were completed, they brought him to Jerusalem to present Jesus to the Lord. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every male who opens the womb shall be called holy to the Lord, and to offer a sacrifice according to what is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons. And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. And this man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. And it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. So he came by the Spirit into the temple. And when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him, according to the custom of the law, he took him up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared before the face of all peoples, a light to bring revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of your people Israel. And Joseph and his mother marvel at those things which were spoken of him. Then Simeon blessed them and said to Mary his mother, Behold, this child is destined for the fall and rising of many in Israel, and for a sign which will be spoken against. Yes, a sword will pierce through your own soul also, that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed. We'll just stop there. This is a happy time of year, is it?
Yes.
Yeah, is it?
Yes.
Yeah, well, I'm glad to know. I've been through some Christmases where I wasn't all that happy. And I went through the village the other day, Friday I think it was, and gave out a few tracts, but I found that people were sort of lost in themselves. And they seemed to be, there were so many people around, they were pushing and shoving and it wasn't a time of relaxation. But Saturday was different. I don't know what was different about it, but people are more willing to smile at you and to do that sort of thing. But it is a happy time. Are we happy? Well, it's a good question, because everybody's not happy at Christmas. And should we be happy is a question. And if we're not, what should the question be asked? Now, it depends in my, well, as for my testimony and my experience, to be happy in Jesus, you've got to know him. If you're happy at Christmas, you've got to know Jesus. And the more you love Jesus, the more you want to sing the carols, the more you want to see about it, the more you want to get in God's presence, and the more you want to know. But if you don't, the commercialism will drag you down if you're not careful. All the Christmas card lists. Well, people come to the door. Don't knock on the door, shove a cart through and go away. Well, what's the point of that? When we're there, they might as well at least talk to us, you'd think, wouldn't you? What's going on? The world has completely lost it. It's a dangerous world. It's a difficult world. But there's joy in Jesus Christ. There's joy in this room today. The strength of the Lord is in his joy. So we should be a happy people if we concentrate on him. People say, I was working with a guy once. He says, what are you doing for Christmas? I said, oh, we've got two children, it was at the time. He said, oh, you'll have a fantastic Christmas because you've got children. He said, it's all about children. He says, my children are too old. They've gone away. It's miserable for us. Well, that's how people think. But it shouldn't be miserable. Greg has pointed out already, it's an important festival. It's the wrong day, yes, I accept. Jesus was probably born on the Feast of Tabernacles, which was September, October. But it doesn't matter. We know the reason why it was changed. But the point is, it happened, as Greg said. And it's a matter of great rejoicing. And you can even turn the television on sometimes, and there's a carol. My goodness, what a change we see at Christmas time. That some people are open to it. There's all sorts of churches putting the stuff on YouTube because they want you to see their service because they're proud of it. Now, I went in the co-op yesterday and there's a group in the corner singing carols And it was very good. They were very good choristers, I have to say. Maybe about 15 or 16 of them. It was very, now, do they believe it? I don't know if they believe it or not. But at least they're there doing it. And that's a witness. An absolute witness. Now we have a different story here. We've got a very short story about Jesus being brought to the temple and being confirmed. Because this was the law of the Jews. And because we're still in the Old Testament theory, in Matthew, Mark, Luke and John, we haven't come into the New Testament. This is still old. So Jesus is living under the law of the Jews. Of course, his gospel to come out of that was preached, and it did change completely, absolutely. But this is a time when we find that Jesus was brought to the temple as the law required, and an offering was made of pigeons or turtle doves because the family was poor. They didn't have anything. Isn't it incredible that the scripture says you come before the Lord and bring that? Well, he was the Lord. How can the Lord come to the Lord? It doesn't make sense. It only makes sense if Jesus is God. If Jesus is not God, it doesn't make any sense at all. But they were poor and they brought what they had according to what the law said. So the parents were obedient to the Lord and they brought their children up in the right way. This was Mary and Joseph. And that was a good thing. They didn't leave anything to chance. They put their effort into it and they did it. Look at the way the children read today because they've been taught by the parents who teach them. Thank you for that, Lord. The children have been brought up in the admonition and nurture of the Lord. That's absolutely a wonderful thing to see. That is absolutely right. And every parent should have that in their heart to do. But the parents were obedient. But the question that comes to me is, Simeon came to the temple because he wanted to hold the Saviour. He wanted to hold the baby Jesus because this had been revealed to him. Now the question is, how did he know when to come? Did he come by chance at the right time? Did he just turn up? Or was there something else? Well, he could have made a calculation because the prophet Daniel gives so much information. We know that when the Messiah comes, he will be sacrificed on the cross, so they could work out how old a baby was and when that was likely to happen and think back. So he'd have an approximate date for that. That would be quite clear because Daniel gives a sweep of the whole history, world history before it's happened. And now we're getting right to the end time. But that it could have been that, but it could have been something else because it was a lot of news spread about that John the Baptist had been born and that Mary was pregnant. This was broadly known. So I would have thought, well, if John the Baptist is born, another 6 months Jesus will be born. I know it's around that time, but I don't know exactly when. Well, isn't like that every believer waiting for the rapture? We don't know when. We know it's coming, and we can see it's coming very soon, but we don't know when. Well, he didn't know when until it says in the scripture that the Lord led him. God spoke to him. Isn't it incredible God can speak to us? Is it?
Yeah.
He's been speaking this morning. Through many avenues, through the children and all the loveliness. And all the scriptures and the songs. And the things that people have prayed and said. It's God who's speaking. Don't let it go over your head. Remember it. Now you may have known it all your life. I was brought up in a Methodist church. It's that long since, I can't remember when. But everybody knew all the Christmas stuff. Absolutely, they knew it. Were they true believers? I don't know. Subsequently, I doubted if many of them were. I didn't get any help when I grew up to be a teenager and said, what's it all about? Nobody was there to tell me. So just because we can do it doesn't mean anything. Because we're all sinners. We all need God to speak to us. And if we're living our lives as though there's no tomorrow, well, there will be a tomorrow. And it won't be perhaps the tomorrow we expect. That is why many have turned to Christ in these days, and many are doing. So the question is that the Holy Spirit, God himself, was talking to Simeon. And he went to the temple at exactly the correct time. Exactly. God never gets it wrong. We can all give personal testimony. Any believer will know that God can give us the information at the right time, and his scriptures come to our fruition, and we know. And then he says, I have seen your salvation, the salvation of the Jews. Yeah, but not just the Jews, for the Gentiles as well. We're all in it together. All in it together. The Jews are the focal point. And why is that? Isn't it ridiculous that Jerusalem is being attacked? I mean, if you've been to Jerusalem, it's not even a port. It's just a city stuck in the middle of the desert. Well, now it's better than it was, because God has made the plants and the grass and the tree, and it's different now. But it's just a city in the middle of a desert. Totally unimportant. Well, why should it be on the front page of every newspaper? Because God said it would be. Because God said, Jerusalem is my city, Israel is my land, and anybody who tries to divide it will come a cropper. And that's exactly what we see. The history is playing out in front of our eyes today. But it's the Jews and the Gentiles, because the gift of salvation, far we thankful, was offered to the Gentiles. We've only got one Jew here, as far as I know. He's okay anyway, but yeah, the rest of us are Gentiles, so we're fine. We will have that wonderful salvation offered to us. And Simeon gave the words, and the words that he spoke are not very easy. And if we look at what he actually said, it says, my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared before the face of all peoples, a light to bring revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of your people. Well, why do we need a revelation? Because we can't see it, because we're all sinners. Because we're cut off from God in the natural. We need revelation to see it. That revelation can come. Well, it can come directly. But it's much more likely to come if you put yourself in the way of finding it. Seek and ye shall find, says the scripture. Knock and the door will be opened unto you if you want it. But it would be costly. But the offer is there. The offer is there. And then it says, Joseph and his mare and his mother marvel at those things which are spoken. Because it was confirmation of what God. Isn't it good to get confirmation? You've taken a decision. You're not sure if it's right. And somebody comes up and says, oh, that's, you think the same thing. That's great. What a pressure that can come off my heart, because I know it's absolutely correct. And that was a case, although of course it was a wonderful miracle the way that Jesus was born, but nevertheless, to get confirmation, the confirmation of a brother and sister in Christ can be especially important, and sometimes we miss it, but it can be. And it says, then Simeon, these are the words, Simeon blessed them and said to Mary his mother, behold, this child is destined for the fall and rising of many in Israel, for a sign which will be spoken against. Rise and fall, what does all that mean? Isn't it a glorious time that here's a baby? Yeah, but the destiny of this baby, the whole history of the world hangs on Jesus Christ. Absolutely. And the more you study the scripture, the more you see it. The more you see how human history marries what the scripture says, the more you see it. So this is the actual amazing words, the fall and rising. Why the fall? Because nobody actually knows God naturally. People try and sort it out. And there's many ways which people try. We won't go into all that. But first, if you want to come up, you have to go down. You have to recognize that you're a sinner. And I'm not talking about necessarily the worst sins that we see outwardly. I'm talking about the sins of the flesh. When we hate somebody, or we don't like somebody, or we do this, or we do that, or we think bad about somebody. We can go on and on and on, talking about the things which are the sins of the flesh, and we're all afflicted by it, and without the revelation of God to pierce through it, we'll never see it. But you've got to want it, and you've got to ask for it. So it's a fall of many, yes. And many will know the truth but don't do it because they don't want it. Because it'll upset you. When I came to Christ, the challenge was, well, I didn't understand it at first. I had a real struggle. And then I began to understand, and then I wish I hadn't found out. Because I found it would take my whole life. If I wanted God out to agree to do what he said, it might cost me a fortune. It might cost my life. I didn't know. But I'll tell you one thing. Why has all this happened? Because God loves you. And God loves you. God loves every single one of us. And when you begin to feel the pull of God, if you're open to it, things will start to happen. So I was in a quandary, wasn't I? I didn't want to do it, selfishly. It's the old nature, as we call it. But over here was God pulling, saying, Are you coming? Till I got to the point where I said, that love is too strong. I can't do anything else but do it. And I said to God one night, wherever you want me to go, wherever you want me to say, whatever you want me to do, I will do it. And the Holy Spirit broke in. Every experience is different, but it's beautiful, and it's rich, and it's glorious. But most of all, it's loving. The peace of God enters your heart, and it's filled with grace and love, because God said, I am love. Outside of God, ultimately, in hell, there is no love. It's a choice, whether we come to God and stay with him, or we stay where we are. But the ultimate place is a place where we reject everybody else, because it's the satanic qualities that dwell in our natural bodies and our natural selves. So unless we get out of it, we will never know the glory of God. And that day, and you can see it with your own eyes, just watch the news if you can stand it, and read the newspapers and see the division that's coming. That the minute it's anti-Semitism, it's spreading to the church. That's coming right around the world. There's a separation coming between those who are saved and those who are not. But as we read, it says the rise and fall of many, and a sword will pierce your own soul. Well, what does that mean? Well, if you look at it from Mary's point of view, it's not easy for her, is it? If you think Mary was chosen by God, it's a dangerous thing to be chosen by God, because he'll give you something to do you don't want to do. Mary had this beautiful baby. It was confirmed to her, and all through her life as she grew up. But things happened, didn't they? They lost him when he was 12. I mean, have you ever lost a child temporarily? Judy was in Marks and Spencer's with, I don't know, Kayleigh was about one or two, I'm not sure. He was holding her hand, and then she was paying at the till, and he'd gone. So she looked all over the shop for a long time, everywhere. What am I going to tell his parents? Where is he? What's happened to him? Complete anxiety. And then a woman comes up and said, have you lost a little boy? If you look on the long nighties, it's on the floor under there, he's hiding. So we found him. But Jesus was lost for 3 or 4 days. And he was in the temple, teaching those who were supposed to teach everybody else. So it's a terrible thing. Mary had all sorts of traumas, carted off to Egypt, had to come back again, shifted, didn't know where she was living. Then Joseph, ultimately, it seems he fades from the picture and dies. But worst of all was the cross. Worst of all, she was at the cross. And she saw her own son, who was barely recognizable. Never mind the pictures you see on the films. Jesus was barely recognizable. And why had he died? Because he was God. And there's no forgiveness for our sin anywhere. If you want to be forgiven for anything, there is no forgiveness unless God provides it. Jesus was perfect. He died a sinner's death, but he had no sin of his own. So he could rise up and say, I've defeated death. And he went to his father and told him that. And God says, I accept that sacrifice. And anybody who comes to Jesus and said, will you forgive me? Jesus goes to the father and said, I died for him. He loves me. And he's forgiven. And that is open to every single person in this room. If you want to know Jesus Christ, you can. Some countries, there's persecution, isn't there? The world's in a dreadful state. Every single thing is going wrong at some point. It doesn't matter whether it's internal to this nation or whether it's international. Will there be a nuclear war? I think so. At some stage, yes. I'm fairly certain, actually, in fear of what the Bible says, there will be. Things are going to go very bad. But when Jesus was on the cross, what did Mary see? You know, when the Jews had sacrifices, they would burn the sacrifices in three ways. You could burn it on open fire, you could burn it in a skillet or a pan, or you could put it in the oven. Now, if Jesus is on the cross, you can see the physical suffering. That's equivalent to burning it on an open fire. Everybody can see it. You burn it in the skillet, it's only half visible. Some of it's hidden. That's a psychological aspect. Mary must have been absolutely in agony, watching her own son on the cross. But if it's in the oven, you can't see anything. You see, the problem and the suffering of Christ on the cross was not on the open fire, not in the skillet or the pan. It was in the oven. Because it was spiritual and nobody could see it. Only Jesus. And the Father said, I see what's happening to my son, the second person of the Trinity. And he said, I'm not interfering. This has to be done. And why did it have to be done? Because he loves you and he wants you to be saved. And the only way to be forgiven is through the sacrifice and the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's why it was a spiritual sacrifice. And that sacrifice has been made, it's been paid, and Jesus is collecting to himself right through 2,000 years of history. And before that, from the Old Testament, those who have been forgiven and those who know him. But the time is coming when he will allow things to come to an end and he will come back. And that day is not very far off. It's a day of judgment, but God is coming back because he loves us. And we need to be ready. And we need to accept the glory. That's why we should be happy at Christmas. We should focus on him and the miracles that took place and what he's done and how he saved us and how he loves us and what he wants you to do for him. So we say, dear Father, what can we say against a love like that? When everything was poured out for me and for you. May the Lord bless his words to us in Jesus' name. Amen.